I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a fascinating journey of discovery in Kearney, Nebraska with Roger Jasnok. Roger is a State of Nebraska Tourism Commissioner and the Director of the Kearney Visitors Bureau. 80% of the world's sandhill cranes descend on the Platte River Valley for a refueling stop before continuing their annual northward migration to Canada and the Arctic. Visitors also descend on the Kearney region to experience the cranes up close and personal.
Well, New Orleans Blind this morning, when they took off 50 to 60,000 of them, that was one of the most deafening times that I've ever heard so many cranes up in the air at one time. That was quite a sight.
Jasnok shares his passion for springtime crane watching, along with whooping cranes, eagles, ducks, geese, shorebirds, and other wildlife that make their annual migrations through Nebraska as well. But there's also lots to do and see in the vibrant town of Kearney. Jasnok talks about a mandatory stop along Interstate 80, and that's the great Platte River Road Archway that free spans the interstate. It's a futuristic, multicolored, steel-girdered structure that's reminiscent of a traditional covered bridge. Inside the archway is a Disney-esque experience that's a hit with the kids and parents alike. The archway chronicles 150 years of transportation through the Platte River Valley.
The big beams that you see in the entryway, if you go to Disney at Wilderness Lodge,
that's the same thing.
History is brought to life through engaging, bigger-than-life, three-dimensional interpretive displays, from buffalo migrations to the era of the covered wagons and on to the advent of the Lincoln Highway, America's first transcontinental highway that opened back in 1913. Roger Jasnok.
Right now we're here with Roger Jasnok, the director of the Kearney Visitors Bureau. What a pleasure to meet you and come here.
Welcome to paradise. Great to have you here.
I think that Kearney has revealed more surprises than any town that I've visited so far in Nebraska, which has been quite extensive.
You get that from a number of different people traveling through, whether it's our museums or certainly the chance to witness the Sandhill Crane. People like yourself have been all over the world, and they are really at awe as far as what spectacle the Sandhill Cranes do every day here for 6 weeks during the spring.
And the number of them, just the pure volume, it's extraordinary. The sky goes black when they take off.
Well, New Orleans Blind this morning, when they took off, not sure how many, if there was 50 to 60,000 of them within the mile that direction, but that was one of the most deafening times that I've ever heard so many cranes up in the air at one time. That was quite a sight.
And this has been going on for a long time.
Thousands and thousands of years. Yeah. We've been at it in terms of helping promote it for the last 30 years, and obviously we're here to protect the cranes. There's a lot of safety issues involved because a lot of places where people during the day in particular can see the cranes.
Private land.
And mm-hmm. So we need to be respectful of the landowners, and certainly having an opportunity at Rose Sanctuary to go to the blind is very good. We also have another viewing opportunity at Fort Kearney State Park, where there's a railroad bridge that's been covered. And so you can go out there in a Rose Sanctuary situation. You're going to be in the blind for a couple hours, 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. where there you can go for the last hour in the evening, first hour in the morning. And Roe has an opportunity where you can stay overnight in the blind. With no heat, it's a chance to really get the blinds are right on the riverbank, so you get up close and personal. So
this is a developing ecotourism product for you, and it's probably tourism in the best sense of the word, isn't it?
Soft adventure. People can get involved, as we talk about. You can sleep overnight in the blind, or you can go out for an hour in the evening and view the cranes there.
Let's talk a bit about Kearney itself and things to do. I mentioned at the beginning, it's a real vibrant, vital, healthy town looking at it from the outside.
We have a big tourism industry in our community. We do a lot of in-state conventions, and this time of year we have all kinds of athletic events. We have a number of different wrestling tournaments, basketball tournaments. We have a university. We have a fairgrounds that has 100,000 square foot clear span space to hold many of these tournaments in. Kind of amazing how everything kind of works out, because we call them crane people. Go out to the blind at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're usually done by 8:30 or 9. 9, and then they go back out at 5 for the evening thing. So guess what? They have a better part of 6 hours to eat, shop, go to some of the other attractions that we have, like the archway and the car collection and so on and so forth.
When I first saw the archway, to be frank with you, I thought, well, it's beautiful architecture from the outside, but my mind visualized kind of an empty, cavernous walk through, like a freeway overpass.
Kind of a statue or...
Yeah, just an empty shell. That's what I thought we were going to find, and it was such a surprise.
Well, and anybody that has anything to do with history, it's a real crowd pleaser for them, because obviously it talks about all the trails that pass through.
Give us a word picture. I heard that Disney Imagineers were involved in the design of that.
There were some people that did contract work for Disney that also did work on the archway. The big beams that you see in the entryway, if you go to Disney at Wilderness Lodge,
That's the same thing. But then it tells about the things that you see and do within that archway.
A couple of my favorite ones is you come around the corner and you see the rear screen projection of the prairie grass blowing in the background, and this mountain man talks about on your headphones how important the buffalo played as a role of providing food for the wagon trains, and all of a sudden the buffalo stampede comes at you. And so that's always an interesting one. There's another area where there's a little girl talking about the prairie library, where as the wagons went along, they got heavy, and so they had to unload things. And so people would unload books, and so the little girl is picking up a book, reading it for a couple of days, and then putting it back down. And
then the next kid finds it.
Finds it, Prairie Library.
That's wonderful. And then going forward in time, there are whole sections on one of my favorite, the Lincoln Highway.
Lincoln Highway.
That was great.
Which paved the way for essentially developing our country and from the standpoint of, in particular, tourism.
And it literally went right by the archway, didn't it?
And it did within just a few short miles. And inspirational to see how many people still remember the Lincoln Highway and the role that it played in our country.
What time of year do people typically come, and how long do they come for the crane migration?
The birds start coming in at Valentine's Day. Actually, they were a little ahead this year. Viewable numbers start the first part of March and go through the first 2 weeks of April. We have people coming from, it's not how many different states are represented, it's how many different foreign countries in a blind of 25 to 30 people. And so that's the magnitude of what we're dealing with, is because there's only one place to see the cranes in this number.
These are not just avid birders either, are they?
No, we have the folks that come in with their $1,000 ICE binoculars and all their recording equipment and cameras. We also have just somebody, a kind of a recreational birder, if you will. And I've heard this three different times, and I've yet to substantiate it, but I was told that birding is larger than all professional sports combined.
Wow.
And the reason being is you can be rich, you can be poor, you can be young, you can be old, you can have a bird feeder in your backyard that costs you $9.95 at wherever, Walmart, and you become a birder.
The disconnect with birding is they don't have big stadiums and they don't
have
Budweiser ads, so they're kind of under the radar. You don't see them because they go in the bush.
Because they're in the backyard.
Yeah. That's fascinating. That's a great, interesting one. Tell us a little bit more about Kearney and what you're most proud of and what you would say would be not to be missed.
First of all, as a community, for folks looking to relocate, we have an unemployment rate of under 3%, and so we have a lot of job opportunity. I think the success of Kearney is it comes through its diversification of its business community. Obviously, ag is still king in Nebraska. Our farmers grow 1.4 billion bushels of corn that help feed the world. And so that has a lot to insulate our economy from ups and downs in our nation's economy.
Everybody's got to eat every day.
That's right. That's right. We have a strong medical community, have a couple hundred docks. We have good diversified manufacturing base, tourism. Again, I join about 1,600 people that go to work every morning in the area of tourism. That helps take the highs and lows out of people. Because our tourism year really kind of starts in September. After the summer, we get into the convention season, run very briskly through October, November, into December a little ways, take a little break over the holidays, and then our convention season starts up in January. and all our sporting events are happening right now. Wrestling, basketball, got like 5-6 weekends in a row where we have anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 wrestlers or basketball players in.
Wow. And, there's always something happening in Kearney then.
Well, we tried to figure out how we can get 6 weekends. We just need 2 more weekends to make things happen. Yeah. But I just think people in Nebraska, and in particular Kearney, if you walk into a restaurant and just ask a question, you'll get more than an answer.
And before we go, for the listener, where is Kearney within Nebraska visually?
Kearney is 3 hours west of Omaha, and then if you keep going, we're approximately 5 hours from Denver.
Roger Jasnok, Director, Kearney Visitors Bureau, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm glad I came.
Come back.
I will.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.